Vasudevaya means the under the sun of Vasudeva. So actually that can mean Krishna or Balaram. So you can be offering obeisances to Krishna or Balaram or both by that nice mantra. Reading from Canto 9, which I think is titled what? Liberation? Yeah, Liberation. Chapter number 15, Parshuram, the Lord's Warrior Incarnation. Text number 24. Tasmai Sana Devaya. Munir Ahanam Aharat. Sasa in Yamadhyā Sasa in Yamadhyā Bahāyā Havismatya Tapo Dhanaha Tasmai Sa Naradevāyā Munir Arhanam Aharat Sasanyas Matya Bahaya Havishmatya Tapo Dhanaha Tasmai Sanara Devaya Munir Harhanam Aharat Sasanya Matya Vahaya Havishmatya Tapo Dhanaha. Please chant. Ladies? Unto him, Saha, he, Chamadagni, Naradevaya, unto King Kartavirya-arjuna, Munihi, the great sage, Arhanam, paraphernalia for worship, Aharat, offered Sasanya with his soldiers, Amatya his ministers, Bahaya and the chariots, the elephants, the horses, or the man who carried the palanquins. Abhishmatya, because of possessing a kamadenu, a cow that could supply everything. Tapadanaha, the great sage whose only power was his austerity, or who was engaged in austerity. Translation. The sage Jamadagni, who was engaged in great austerities in the forest, received the king very well, along with the king's soldiers, ministers, and carriers. He supplied all necessities to worship these guests, for he possessed a kamadenu cow that was able to supply everything. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Brahma Samhita informs us that the spiritual world, and especially the planet Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna lives, is full of Surabhi cows, Surabhir Abhipalayantam. The Surabhi cow is also called Kamadenu. Although Jamadagni possessed only one Kamadenu, he was able to get from it everything desirable. Thus he was able to receive the king, along with the king's great number of followers, ministers, soldiers, animals, and palanquin carriers. When we speak of a king, we understand that he's accompanied by many followers. Jamadagni was able to receive all the king's followers properly and feed them sumptuously with food prepared in ghee. The king was astonished at how opulent Jamadagni was because of possessing only one cow, and therefore he became envious of the great sage. This was the beginning of his offense. Parshuram, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, killed Kartavirya Arjuna because Kartavirya Arjuna was too proud. One may possess unusual opulence in this material world, but if one becomes puffed up and acts whimsically, he will be punished by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a lesson to be learned from the history in which Parshuram became angry at Kartavirya Arjuna and killed him and rid the entire world of the Kshatriyas 21 times. Om Ekyanti Manandasya Ginandana Shloke Chakshun Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasad Gurule Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namah. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pacharini Nivasesha Shunvani Pastati Vishtani. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakti Vinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sanchakalpapalibhishcha, kapasindhubhivcha, pitanam pavanebhya, vayashnavebhya, namo namaha. I want to thank Keshava Prabhu for inviting me to come and give class and purify myself by speaking about Srimad Bhagavatam. And Mogavira Prabhu for kindly giving me a ride from Gainesville. This is such a great spiritual oasis. We're driving in the dark and cold, and to come into the light and the warmth, and all these wonderful devotees jumping up and down and dancing, and these amazingly decorated, glowing deities was like a very powerful experience. It sort of woke me up, which is good. So this is another very educational pastime from the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's always people, I think everyone in the Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching by their example. Some people are teaching by good examples and some people are teaching by bad examples. So here we're seeing the bad example of, the good example of Jamadagni in receiving his guest, which he does very expertly with the help of this Kamadenu cow. Receiving guests is an important part of Vedic culture, and it's described that the culture was such that even if one's enemy came to his house, one should receive him in such a way that he doesn't feel any enmity from the host, that all enmity is forgotten. And it's also described that one can consider a guest who appears spontaneously just to be as if Narayan appeared. Should be respected and given a place to sit, and some water, some food, some sweet words like that. So he did very expertly. You can imagine he must have been super qualified because his son was Parshuram. So it's not an ordinary person who gets to have incarnation, empowered incarnation of Godhead as their child. So Jamadagni must have been very highly qualified, Brahmana and Vaishnava for that matter. And so naturally he would receive the guest properly, and he did. But so somebody in the mode of goodness, if they're received properly, they become very happy and at the reception and feel like they want to reciprocate with the host. But Kartavirya Arjuna, he was really puffed up by the mode of passion. And he was thinking, how does my host have all this opulence? I should have this opulence. Which was not really the right attitude. Actually, the kingly order is not supposed to be just ordinary administrators in the Vedic culture, but they're actually supposed to be versed in the Shastra. They're supposed to be Rajarshis, saintly kings. In fact, Krishna says, and I'm reviewing in my own Gita study, chapter 4, and I was reminded of this verse, Evam Parampara Praptam Imam Rajarshi Yoga Vidu Sakali Mata Yoga Nashta Parantapa, that the science of yoga, which that Krishna is teaching to Arjuna, it's received through a chain of saintly kings. He originally taught the kingly order, and they were supposed to maintain it in human society and propagate it. This actually comes to the saintly kings. And in Bhagavad Gita itself, the recipient is not some brahmana, but the recipient of knowledge is a king, Arjuna. So the kings are actually supposed to be conversant with this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. So also in chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita, there's this verse 4:22, yidritcha, labha santushto. One should be satisfied with gain. It comes of its own accord. So this surabhi cow, which belonged to Jamadagni, was not really gain that came of its own accord, but it was something that Kartavirya Arjuna thought he could benefit by. So even though it wasn't spontaneously coming to him, he decided he wanted to possess it. That verse continues, Dwando Chita Nimatsra, that the enlightened person, he doesn't see dualities, and he doesn't envy. But this Kartavirya Arjuna, he wasn't self-satisfied. He wasn't satisfied by what came naturally. Although he had so much power and opulence, he thought that he didn't have enough. He was too greedy. And therefore, he wasn't vimatsara, non-envious, but he was actually envious. So that verse continues saying that such a person who's satisfied with gain that comes of its own accord and is non-envious, such a person becomes free from bondage. But this Kartavirya Arjuna, he actually incurred great bondage. So he basically what happens is he envies the situation of Jamadagni and decides he should take that calf, or that cow and its calf. And amazingly enough, this is not the first time this happened in Vedic history. There's a whole other lila which involves a similar story, and that's the story of Vishvamitra, which is sort of interesting. Now, Vishvamitra, although he was a kshatriya, he became a brahmana in the very same body by his spiritual achievements. And why did he decide to become a brahmana? Because he found out brahmanas had more power than kshatriyas did. Actually, he was motivated by the mode of passion. Just as here, this Kartavirya Arjuna is finding that Jamadagni had more opulence. So the same happened with Vishvamitra. He picked a quarrel with Vashishtha Muni when he was a kshatriya king and performed a great sacrifice in cooperation with Ganga Muni, and thus was able to vanquish the sons of Vashishtha. He became a great yogi, yet he failed to attract his senses and was thus obliged to become the father of Shakuntala, the beauty queen of the world history. Once when he was a kshatriya king, he visited the hermitage of Vashishtha and was given a royal reception. which is similar to this pastime. He was given a very nice reception. Vishwamitra wanted from Vasishtha a cow named Nandini, and the Muni refused to deliver it. Vishwamitra stole the cow, another parallel, and thus there was a quarrel between the sage and the king. Vishwamitra was defeated by the spiritual strength of Vasishtha, and thus the king decided to become a brahmana. Before becoming a brahmana, he underwent severe austerity on the bank of the Kaushika River. So, actually, the brahminical power is superior to the kshatriya power. And so apparently, kshatriyas occasionally become envious of the brahmanas and try to attain their objects of wealth or attain their power or their position. So to take the property of a brahmana is considered a very, very dangerous thing. What to speak of taking it by force. There's a nice narration in the Krishna book, in the 10th canto, about the story of Maharaj Nriga. So Maharaj Nriga was an incredibly pious king, and he gave thousands and thousands of cows away in charity. One time he gave a cow away in charity, and that cow that he gave away wandered back into his own herd, and then he gave it to another brahmana. So that brahmana, whose cow was given to another brahmana, was incredibly upset and accused of King Nriga of stealing a brahmana's property. And so both the brahmanas were displeased with King Nriga's behavior. So King Nriga said, "That's all right, I will give you both 100,000 cows in exchange for that one cow, if you'll just be satisfied." You know, but neither of them would go along with it because they both felt that the cow should have been theirs. So, which is actually inconceivable, right, when you consider the qualities of a brahmana. one of the foremost qualities of the brahmana is forgiveness, actually. It's actually said that Lord Brahma attained his post by having the quality of forgiveness in that pastime, actually. So what happened was, although he had incredible piety, because of that one offense to these brahmanas, he had to take a birth as a lizard in the next life. So in this case, it's even worse because he's using force to take away the brahmana's property. There it was just an accident. So if you accidentally take away a brahmana's property, you can become a lizard. So what happens if you take it by force? You know? Could be really bad. And so, as you'll see, he did get quite very well punished for it. So, and that whole pastime of King Nriga is actually told by, Nriga recites it himself at the instruction of Krishna, who extended his arm by his mystic potency, his left arm. I guess he didn't want to pick up the lizard with his right arm. So he took his left arm way down the well and picked up the lizard, and it, by the touch of the Lord, he became this heavenly personality and recited that story. And then Krishna explains how sacred the property of a brahmana is. And if a kshatriya tries to claim it, that person will be completely destroyed. And that even if one desires to take the property of a brahmana in his mind, even that is a great offense. And he illustrated, because he wanted to teach his sons and grandsons as ideal king and as ideal father, Krishna wanted to teach his sons and grandsons, all of whom were kshatriyas, about the importance of respecting the brahmana's property. So, continuing. So the idea is how the kshatriyas are actually supposed to behave is they're actually supposed to respect the brahmanas, and they're actually supposed to act according to the directions of the brahminical order. And the whole rest of the whole tail end of the purport is about what happens if one disregards the higher direction. There are other kings in the Vedic history who also have this problem of ignoring brahminical direction. I think one of the foremost of them is Marasvena. Marasvena, he was a little This Kartavirya Arjuna Prabhupada is saying is too proud, but this Vaina, he really went over the edge. Because it's described that in the Vedic culture that he respected as God. And the Vaina thought, because he was supposed to be respected as God, that he actually was God. And he told the brahmanas they needn't bother to perform their sacrifices for God, they could just perform their sacrifices for him. So the brahmanas didn't really appreciate this incredible audacity and completely unreasonable pride and delusion on behalf of King Vaina. So they actually got together and they just cursed him to die, just like that. And he was finished. And that was back when the Brahmins had power. And so that the proper behavior for the Kshatriyas is they're supposed to follow the instructions of the Brahminical class. And, whimsical action is very much condemned. And there's one of my favorite verses in Bhagavad Gita, which didn't even make the Bhakti Shastri verses to memorize, but I think it's really deserving of it. Very few people quote it in class. Judah Karma, I heard quote it in class once. Yashastram vidim utraja bhartate kamakarata nasa siddham vapati na sukham na param gatim. Bhagavad Gita 16:23. If one gives up the injunctions of the shastra, vartate kamakarata, but acts according to his own whims, nasa siddham vapnoti, he does not attain perfection, na sukham, he does not attain happiness, na param gatim, he does not attain the supreme destination. So, to act according to one's own imagination is the path of failure, according to the Vedic instruction. And what to speak of trying to kill the people or take the property of the people you're supposed to be obeying, or even kill them. So, what can we learn from this? Of course, there's many things we can learn from this pastime. We can learn how to be a good host. We can learn how to be a bad kshatriya. And we can also learn how to be a good kshatriya by actually being obedient to the Brahminical class. And as Prabhupada really set up ISKCON originally to be a very Brahminical movement, a class of Brahmanas. Because he made the point that the present society is missing the head. The Brahmanas are considered the head of the social body. And if the head is missing, then basically the body is completely dysfunctional. And so he wanted members of ISKCON to be enlightened in Vedic knowledge and share that enlightenment with other people. First thing is we have to become enlightened in Vedic knowledge ourselves. Prabhupada gave many instructions about the importance of reading his literatures. There's one book called Reading Reform Notebook in which Satsarup Maharshi analyzed these different instructions that Prabhupada gave about reading his literatures and sort of summarized it. Felt that Prabhupada considered that we should hear a class in the morning, a class in the evening, and study his books for at least an hour a day. And that would be sufficient absorption in Vedic knowledge to keep us fixed in spiritual consciousness. There's one purport where, it's a very powerful purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Prabhupada says that if we don't read his all the books that he's written, we'll simply eat, sleep, and fall down and miss the chance to get to obtain an eternally blissful life. And there I believe he mentions his four main books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the Nectar of Devotion. And so the other thing is the Brahmanas, there's six Brahminical duties. Brahmins, they study the scripture and they teach the scripture. They worship the deity and they teach the worship of the moon, and they get charity and they give charity. So, in addition to absorbing ourselves in this knowledge, we're meant to spread this knowledge, to teach this knowledge. And that can be done in so many different venues. We can teach this knowledge. There's different opportunities. There will be at different clubs at the universities, and we can have programs, and we can invite people to come, and we can think of different topics that people are interested in, and present the Vedic knowledge through different contemporary topics, and benefit the people by giving them some real direction, so they won't act whimsically, they'll act according to the Vedic direction and gradually be elevated spiritual consciousness. So there's any other things I really wanted to say about this. Well, those were a few thoughts on this topic. Does anybody have any questions or comments or realizations they'd like to share at this point? The class goes to quarter of, does it? Okay. Quarter of. So anybody have any comments or questions or realizations they'd like to share about anything that's been mentioned so far? That's Madan Mahan Prabhu.
Kartavir Arjuna, he didn't think about this until he actually saw the situation. But do you know how he got his benediction? He was worshiping Dattatreya, and he got such an incredible benediction that unless he had some really good advisors, that benediction was like almost a curse, because it's just a matter of time. You have so much opulence, so much followers, so much education, that pride's going to have you do something wrong. You know anything on what his method was, or his original desire that he worshipped Dattatreya for? Or?
I just read all the translations of this chapter, and I didn't get into that much detail about that. Yeah, the problem with the pride is that one thinks actually that he knows everything and doesn't need to consult higher authority. And then basically after that point, he starts making one mistake after another, and the reactions to these mistakes pile up, basically. And one gets into deep trouble. And because the kshatriya is influenced by the mode of passion, it's actually practically natural that they'll become proud, because pride is associated with the mode of passion. And therefore, they're supposed to be advised by brahminical advisors who are in the mode of goodness, who actually understand the scriptures, because actually unless you're in the mode of goodness, you can't understand the scripture. That's why the brahmanas only really are especially supposed to study the scripture, because in the consciousness of the mode of goodness, one knows what's to be done, what's not to be done, what's to be feared, what's not to be feared. And when your consciousness is contaminated, you interpret the scripture according to your own selfish desires, instead of presenting the scripture as it is. Therefore, it's actually completely essential that the kshatriyas hear from the brahmanas and they understand that dynamic. Actually, there's one other topic I was going to mention, and that is that Srila Prabhupada himself would on occasion give instructions to people in political positions. Of course, Gandhi, he was a political leader, and Prabhupada wrote to Gandhi and gave him some advice. In that particular circumstance, Gandhi was very old, and he advised him to retire and to study Bhagavad Gita, because that's another item of knowledge that the Vedic Kshatriyas knew. At a certain point, they should retire, that they should give the kingdom to their son, and they should engage in spiritual activities for the rest of life. So, and then Prabhupada also talked to Indira Gandhi and gave her some instructions, and on one of those DVD following Prabhupada videos, there's a pastime where he meets the mayor of Paris, and the devotees who were describing what went on said that Prabhupada was very bold, you know, and practically asked them why they weren't teaching, why they weren't engaging the people of Paris in spiritually beneficial activities. He wasn't afraid, you know. and the mayor was looking with a very uneasy, you know, to say the least, hearing Prabhupada. But he was like completely bold, and just, you know, telling him that it's the duty of the administrative class to engage the public and act the spiritual sacrifice for their benefit. And, you know, why aren't you doing that? These people of your city of Paris. So I think there is scope for us to try to, in some way that we can practically enlighten whatever government leaders. Like, you can always write your congressman, you know? Not that they'll listen to you, but it never hurts to make some endeavor. Yes, Pushkar Prabhu.
The chief minister, where is the Tirupati temple? Andhra?
Andhra Pradesh, yeah.
Tamil Nadu.
Oh, Andhra.
So, yeah, and he's talking to him, and he's telling him how is it that you're taking money of Balaji, harping, blasting
wow.
him for 45 minutes.
Wow.
You hear that, you know, he says, this money, the government's now taking the temple money. He just would not let up. If you hear that, just...
Power?
Other examples.
Wow, I'd never heard that past time over this house. Well, he was saying that, Pushkar Prabhu was saying that at one point in time that Srila Prabhupada was talking to a minister in the government of Andhra Pradesh, the province where Tirupati is, because the government has actually taken over the administration of the Tirupati temple, and therefore the millions or billions of rupees or however they get each year is under the direction of the government, not under the direction of the Brahmanas, really. And Prabhupada was blasting him for 45 minutes, you know, how they'd taken Balaji's money, the money that's supposed to be meant to execute the mission of the personality of Godhead, Balaji, and using it for government, at governmental discretion. That's powerful, and it means that he spoke to that person for 45 minutes, having him out about that.
I'm not sure the exact time, but yeah. So
he
probably didn't pull any punches with that one. Usually didn't.
Any other questions or comments? So in my own life, that's one defect. I haven't really tried to preach to any leaders. Any of you had any experience trying to preach with any political leaders? You know? Something that we haven't really focused on.
Only when in Puerto Rico we preached to the mayor of Gurabo. And he really liked the devotees, and he used to come to the temple, and you know, he really enjoyed the prasadam and so forth. Every time you ask him, well, how are you? ¿Cómo está? Said, I'm doing good and I'm getting better.
Wow.
Yeah. Bueno y está mejorando. So it was really wonderful by the association with the bodies.
Wow. Double. Yeah, Pushkar Prabhu was saying that Pragolish preaches to the mayor of Dublin. And it's definitely useful to do, because when people make decisions that affect the public, and if they become purified, it's like one purport in the Anakut pastime of the Madhavendra Puri, where they have this huge Anakut festival, like, which is like the equivalent of Govardhan Hill, mountains of food, you know, it's distributed. And Prabhupada takes advantage of that incident to say in the purport that for people to get together over food is a natural thing, but businessmen get together and they eat, you know, meat, and they drink wine, and government leaders get together and they, you know, they eat meat and drink wine, and then they make decisions. But if they all, you know, if they got together over Krishna prasadam, you know, then the consciousness would be purified, and they would make, you know, Krishna conscious decisions. And he describes that if a person doesn't do anything else, but they just take Krishna prasadam, in the course of time they will come to follow all the Vaishnava principles. Yes, please. Right. Dr. Tudor, I was just preaching to Nelson Mandela. We had used to have a restaurant in Tallahassee called The Higher Taste, and it was like two blocks from the Trillington Tower, which is the educational building for the whole state of Florida. And a lot of the people from there used to come. And I thought that was actually really great to have a prasadam restaurant right in the center of the government district, so the governmental leaders would come and take prasadam and have a chance to, you know, make decisions in a more purified consciousness. Actually, I was talking to some people in Prague about their restaurant, and there was like some people that they weren't like some of the people who come to our restaurants are people into yoga and people into like, you know, new age things or like meditation or different, you know, spiritually uplifting or like self-help type things. But there's just some regular businessman who would come to the restaurant in Prague, and they just had the realization that when they eat this prasadam for lunch, that they have more energy in the afternoon when they eat the boga and the dead animals and stuff. It like really drains their consciousness, and they don't have any energy to do anything. But they come and take the prasadam, and it gives them energy, you know, to do their service. Even at the meditation last night, somebody was saying by the chanting of the Hare Krishna, it woke them up. Mm-hmm. Of course, some people are put them to sleep. But so this transcendental knowledge, transcendental prasadam, transcendental chanting, it purifies the consciousness of the people, and the people will make better decisions. One point Prabhupada would make is that the politicians are too busy working for their own self-aggrandizement in terms of power and in terms of wealth. They don't have time to think of the welfare of the people. But that's the purifying power of the bhakti yoga. Prahlad Maharaj glorifies this process of bhakti, saying that if people engage in it, they come to the level of wanting to benefit others. That's the effect. They lose enmity toward each other, and they think about how can we benefit people. That's the side effect of performing bhakti yoga. I know the Gita shloka, and you know the Bhagavan shloka, so why do you quote the shloka for us? It's a great shloka. You can say it in English too. It's a beautiful translation.
Thank you. Svastyasthu visvasya kala prasiditam dhyantu bhutani shivomito deya. Anyway, it says dhyantu bhutani shivomito manascha badram vajitara hoksaje aveshitam nomatir apyahaitiki. The Prahlad Maharaj's prayer, which Prabhupada thought was very great, and put it in the front of that book, Fifth Canto.
Uh-huh.
I think it's from 5, 17, 18, 18 or 19, anyway. That he's praying that all envious persons will, that everyone will practice bhakti yoga. That way all envious persons will be pacified, and their minds will think of Krishna by thinking of Krishna and practicing bhakti yoga. Like causeless devotional service, and the whole universe will be benefiting them. Nice verse.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you were saying?
Yeah, that's the verse. Yeah, and it talks about how the people, by this practice of the bhakti yoga, they will
think
about
each other's welfare,
doing welfare, each other's welfare. Yeah. So that's actually one thing that we could work on individually or collectively, is to more education for the administrators that we have some relationship with, so they're more aware of our ideas. And I think Brahmatirtha Prabhu also cultivates good relationships with the leaders in Gainesville, the mayor, and different people in the council and stuff like that, because it it makes the difference by the association of devotees. They can they become purified by us giving them prasadam. Once people give them Bhagavad Gita's, they can give them advice that is more beneficial than they would come up with on their own. So it's an opportunity to help humanity by educating the leaders. So thank you for your kind attention. I'm sorry for being a little spaced out. And, Divine Grace, A.C., Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna.